take our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. We've been going here a good bit. Book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Hope y'all are able to have these scriptures embedded in our minds as we continue going over them. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word, the obeying of it, and I have a keyword study Bible, and in my Bible the word pray and desire is in the present tense in verse 9, and that means repeatedly and continually. This is Paul's prayer, not just Paul, but those who are with Paul, that the Colossians would continually and repeatedly be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understand that this is not a one-time, boom, we got it and we're done, take it off the list. Now, this is our life. For the rest of our lives, that we will be filled with this knowledge of His will and all wisdom. And the progression is that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you look at verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So as we continue to grow as Christians, and we learn more about who our God is, we will see these fruits or these evidences in our lives. And understand that you and I, as we have learned, we are finite. So we have limits to our understanding of who God is. This is another reason that we should stay in the Word of God and continue to study the Word of God to learn more about, again, who He is. And a right understanding of who God is gives us a right understanding of who we are. What we want to look at today as we continue going through the personal perfections of God. Today we want to look at God's goodness. This is the personal perfections of God. This will be, I think, part 5 of this message series. God is good. Amen. These personal perfections of God, listen, they are all eternal. He has always been good. He's always been faithful. He's always been all-knowing and so on and so forth as we go through this. God has always been good. He does not evolve, nor does He change as things happen over time. He doesn't change. We change, don't we? We're always changing. But God doesn't change. So let's look today at the goodness of God. Let's start out in Psalm chapter 52, verse 1. I know this is a little different that we usually take scriptures and we usually break the scriptures down as we study them, and we look at either the Greek or the Hebrew or the original language it was written in. This is a little different study and looking at the perfections of God. So we're looking at verses that proclaim these perfections of God, personal perfections of God. Psalm 52:1 says, "Why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" Notice this, "The goodness of God endureth continually." These truths are, on one hand, hard for you and I to grasp, to understand. Again, our minds are finite, and not just finite, but our minds has been tainted by sin. So we view goodness from a fallen perspective. Often, as we've already mentioned today, we view goodness by comparing ourselves with others. God's goodness is truly heavenly. Here's a quote by Thomas Manton. Thomas Manton was an English Puritan clergyman. He lived back in 1620 and died in 1677. He was approximately 57 years old, 56, 57 years old. Here's what he said. Speaking of God, "He is originally good. Good of himself, which nothing else is. For all creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. He is essentially good. Not only good, but goodness itself. The creature's good is super added quality. In God, it is His essence. He is infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop in comparison. But in God, there is an infinite ocean of gathering together of good. He is eternally and immutably good. For He cannot be less good than He is, as there can be no addition made to Him, so no subtraction from Him." That's a quote by Thomas Manton regarding the goodness of God. Here's a question I'm going to ask us this morning. Is God good to everyone? Be careful before you answer that. Is God good everyone? Again, we must answer these questions by the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? Is God good to everyone? And the answer is yes, God is. God is not only good to everyone, but also to all things. This will be all of creation. God is good to. He is good to everyone by His common grace. This is the goodness of God demonstrated to all of creation. Not just humans, but all of the creation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Y'all know this, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Depends on what part of the world you're from, how you view the sunshine or the rain, doesn't it? Right now, it's my understanding that there's a drought, not just in America, but around the whole world. There's a drought going on. It seems like I'm getting calls every day from people who are not saved, so I try to use this as an opportunity to share the gospel. They're concerned that the river Euphrates is drying up. And they want to quote Scripture about end times and these different things come out of the Euphrates River and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying the Lord is not about to come back, because I believe His return is imminent. He's coming. Amen. And he doesn't need a drought to come back, does he? Nor does he need a flood to come back, or a temple to be rebuilt, or a red heifer to be in Israel, or for there to be false messiahs. There's always been false messiahs, as there's always been droughts around the world also. But the point I'm making is this, is that sometimes the sunshine is a blessing, isn't it? This morning it's cold outside. For Southeast Louisiana, yes, 32 degrees is cold. Some people say it's nothing. It's cold for you and I. And we find ourselves, even as we are on the porch in the mornings, fellowshipping, that we seem to all have our feet out there where the sun's hitting it. You ever notice that? God's good to us, isn't He? What does the sunshine do? And I'm not going to go into all these things. I don't know them anyway. But I know this, without the sunshine, the plants aren't going to grow correctly. That you're not going to have crops. Grass for the cows to eat. So that don't bother me. It will in the grocery store. Because in case some of y'all don't know, they don't make the meat in the grocery store. Okay, it comes from farmers and farms throughout this country. And in that area, God is good, isn't He? The rain. Do we need the rain? Yes. We need the rain. We need the rain because, again, it grows crops. And listen, if we are in a drought, our water table under the ground also drops, and your well can run dry. Then you have to get a new well drilled deeper to get to more water. God is good. The saved and the lost all enjoy the pleasures of this life. We enjoy a cool breeze in the heat of the summer, the sunshine in the winter, the colors of the tree leaves in the fall, the pollen during the spring. No matter, it doesn't matter what part of the earth people live in, lost and saved experience the same elements. Even our bodies are evidences of God being good to all, with what we can see and smell and feel and experience. All of creation praises God for His goodness. Have you ever been up early in the morning and listened at first light? What do you hear? Hear the birds. They start singing. They're singing their praises to God. God's good to them, isn't He? How about in the evenings, right at dusk, the coyotes break loose and start to howl. And it depends on how close you are, it can send chills up and down your spine. Do you know what they're doing? They're praising God. That's their morning. It's opposite, right? They're getting up to get going hunting. And you hope that they're not praising God, that you're their meal, right? But they're praising God. It's amazing, isn't it? That all of creation, in one way or another, is praising God for His goodness. Psalm 136:25, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. It is God that provides our needs. The birds of the air, the beasts of the field, sing their praises for the goodness of the Lord. How much more should mankind? But often what we do is that we take these things for granted, don't we? When we take it for granted, we tend not to praise Him for them. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of what? The goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. As we continue to grow in our knowledge of the Most High God, our prayers and our praise should be transformed. We who have been saved by Jesus Christ are thankful for the common graces of God, right? But we are eternally thankful for the effectual grace of God. Because the Lord has saved us, we now understand what we really deserved. We understand that we deserved hell, or the torments of hell for eternity. But God's been so good to us, and that He sent His only begotten Son to die for the sins of all who have and will believe. When we understand that we do not deserve the least of His mercies, we begin to see the goodness of God towards us. Heaven becomes very desirous, and the things of this world become very fleeting. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But it says just, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Again, it says the Lord is good. Now, we can view life from a worldly perspective. This means that we will view life as being fair or unfair. We view fair or unfair from our understanding and opinions. As soon as something happens that is not fair in our opinion, we say that God is not good. Because if God was good, then what we think is not fair would not have happened. Question comes up, and this is very popular today. How can a good God let bad things happen? Our first, because knowing the Bible is thinking about us something because we think we are good. We think we know better. We may not say this openly, but just with some things that we do say, we're saying under our brown minds that if we were God, we'd have done that differently. That's why it's important that we establish everything by the Scriptures. See, we can say, well, God messed up. God made a mistake. We're just saying that God is not good. Listen, folks, the Bible says God is good, whether we think He is or not. How many people are out there that are angry at God for whatever it may be? God, in their minds, they say, God has taken my loved one from me. Or God has caused my loved one to be in pain. Or has caused me to be in pain. God's given me cancer or some other kind of disease. God has allowed my child to be born with a disability. We say, we're not that bad. Why does bad things happen to good people? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. You may have heard this. You may have said this. We can be at times put in a grievous state with the pressure that's put upon us. Romans chapter 3, we'll start in verse 9. These are familiar verses. Romans 3:9, what then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, notice this, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth what? Good. No, not one. That's why it's important you and I have a biblical perspective of who we are and who God is. It plainly says that there is none good, there's none that does good, no, not one, as if to say, no, not even you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When things don't go our way, it seems like we want to stand flat-footed and raise our fist at God and shake it. Say, God, how can you let this happen? We can be screaming, saying, God, you're unfair. It's not fair that this would happen. He or she hasn't even had a chance to live. Or they can't live. Lord, why'd you take them from me? It's not fair. People do not understand if it weren't for the goodness of God. All who are lost would be suffering the torments of hell at this very moment. People want to scream, I don't deserve this, when they have no idea what they really deserve. And active again of who we are, what we've earned. God has everything to give us. The majority of people in this world view God apart from the Scriptures. That's the problem. Therefore, they do not know the God of the Bible. Because if they knew the God of the Bible, they would not, or they would thank Him, I should say, for His goodness. And I know that some people may say, well, you have no idea then what I'm going through. I promise you. I do. We may not be too concerned about ourselves, but how about our loved ones? We see them, again, as I mentioned earlier, we see them hurting. We see them in a place that we want to deliver them from, don't we? But we don't have that ability or that power. And listen, it's human nature. Say, God, why? Why, God? Why would you do this? See, those of us who are saved are not exempt from doubting the goodness of God. Yes, we shouldn't, but listen, we do. Why? Because we're still covered in this unredeemed flesh. We're still full of emotions and passions, and at times those emotions and passions get out from under the Word of God, and we get in trouble. We feel for other people. We We cringe when we see them hurting, and again, when we want to fix things. Having a biblical perspective only comes from the Bible. That's why we must stay in the Scriptures. We don't stick our heads in the sand and pretend it doesn't happen. We don't go around with an attitude of saying, if I don't look at it, it's not there. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. That's not dealing with things. You must deal with it. Because, listen, God gives you and I grace to get through these things. How good is that? Paul 3 times said, Lord, take this from me. Can you imagine seeing Paul? How much better, Lord, can I minister for you? He didn't say this in the Bible, but this is just me, okay? How much better can I minister for you if you take these things from me, God? And God said, no. I'm not taking it from you, though you've asked me 3 times. But God said, my grace is sufficient. I was, okay, God. Therefore, I rather glory in my what? Infirmities. Wow. The power of God. That God would be what glorified. That's hard, folks. That's hard. We don't stick our heads in the sand. We don't pretend things that bad things don't happen. No, that's what Tom Cruise does. We don't become a stoic. No. This simply means that we have a biblical view of life. Even in the worst times of our lives, God is still good. He's still good. It's obvious life doesn't always go our way, does it? Oh, I think we can say that often life hardly ever goes our way. If we want to be honest about things. In Romans 8:28, if you want to turn there, it's a scripture that, listen, we know very well. And I'm surprised to learn that some people actually hate this verse. Romans 8:28. The Bible says, and we know that all things. That word all there, it would be good to underline that. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How wonderful is our God? He takes everything that's going on in our lives, all things, and He works these things for our good. And we may say at the time and don't feel like it, no, and it very well may not. It doesn't look like it. How, at the time, we may say, how can this right now be working for my good? Well, keep this in mind, we are finite. God's infinite. He is all-knowing. Listen, God's faithful. You think you'd be here if God wasn't faithful? We wouldn't. I'd have quit a long time ago. Because I'm not faithful. He is. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's goodness either. And more things we'll learn about God as we go. Let's go to Psalm chapter 107. It's 43 verses, and we're going to read the whole thing. I encourage you to get your pen out and underline some of these verses. And I encourage you to go home today and go back through this great chapter. Psalm 107, starting verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His what? His goodness. And for His merciful, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 107, 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. There is again for His what? Goodness. For His wonderful works of the children of men. Did they deserve to be delivered by God? For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works of the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Maybe this will help a little bit. What is upon them is more than they can bear. It's beyond their comprehension. The way to get out of what they're under is beyond. They can't. They've done all they know to do. They've given all their strength and might. They cannot deliver themselves. Y'all ever been there? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He made the storm calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into a barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. There he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffer not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him famine like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. And we should remind ourselves of this continually, that God is good. I have one more quote I want to read from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, some of you, most of you probably have heard his name. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. He died in 1892 at 58 years old. Been preaching the gospel since he was, I think, 19, 18 years old, maybe a little sooner. Known as the Prince of Preachers, because even today his sermons are still published and sent around the world. It's amazing. Books. And I'm saying that to say this, he was also a man who was afflicted with his health. He had terrible health. Here's what he had to say. Let me add this too before I say read this. He was kicked out of the Baptist convention in London because he would not compromise the Word of God. Even his own brother turned against him. Here's what he says. When others behave badly to us, it shall only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we shall only the more reverently bless Him that He is good. We must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be quite, this is absolutely certain, that Jehovah is good. His dispensations may vary, but His nature is always the same. Listen, God doesn't change. He has always been good. He will always be good. He has always been faithful. He will always be faithful. He has always been all-knowing. He is all-knowing. He will always be all-knowing. He is infinite. Listen, without measure, these things. This is wonderful for you and I. To grasp, understand these truths, that our God is good. Amen.